Who's on your panel?
Beth Blower.
Who?
Beth Blower.
I have that.
Who else is on the person?
Who else?
Colin Drain.
Colin Drain.
Rebecca Williams. And Robert Gray.
Okay, Beth Blower, Rebecca Williams.
Rebecca Williams.
Mm-hmm. And Colin Drain.
Robert Ray.
And yes, okay. That's the bottom panel. Okay, thank you.
Is it right if they join?
Sure. We're calling their names off.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This should not be a very long hearing because I would say this is the product of a lot of research and investigation. As you all well know, and this committee passed the Joint Committee on Transparency and Open Government 3 years ago. Over the last 3 years, we've looked at a number of issues, from the Public Information Act to Open Meetings Act to the concept of open data. And what we've realized is that this stuff is hard and it's complicated. And the more you dive into the details, the more complicated it gets. So for the last year, we really focused on this issue of open data. What does open data mean? Well, essentially it says that the data that the state government collects that's legally permissible to be made open should be made open on in a regular fashion. Why would we do this? There's one story that really lit my passion for this subject. Think of GPS data. In the past, GPS data used to be a closed data set that wasn't accessible by anyone except contractors and federal government agencies. There was a decision made to make it open and to regularly publish it. When you think of today, all of the billions of dollars of economic activity that have been created off of the use of GPS data, be it Garmin and Google Maps and Apple Maps and any type of location services, this would all have been impossible if someone hadn't made the choice to make the data regularly open. And when they made that choice, they didn't even know what might be developed. What you have in front of you today with Senate Bill 644 is a step towards moving Maryland to a more friendly open data state. It establishes a general policy saying that data that can be made open should be made open. And it sets forth a council of key stakeholders so that these issues can really be investigated in the richness that is required to do it well. Maryland has been a leader in open data with the Open Data Portal and with Maryland's IMAP. What this bill does is it takes those two executive functions, combines them into one thing called the Council on Open Data. That council will make recommendations in the years ahead about how we can continue to take more of our data sets and publish them regularly and reliably for the public. My goal with this is to change the culture in Maryland, or further push the culture so that we can help stimulate some businesses that we can't even imagine may exist in the years ahead. Thank you for your attention on this matter, and urge the committee to give Senate Bill 644 a favorable report.
Okay, does anybody have any questions of Senator Ferguson? Seems not. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, four folks were called. There's five there.
Rebecca.
Well, if you just say your name, can they say their name before they?
Rebecca, are you Rebecca Williams?
Yes.
You were called, or should have been. All right, why don't we do this? Rebecca, since we're picking on you, we'll start with you. Let me ask you all to do this. Make your comments brief if you can, and we will go through the entire panel, and then we will ask questions.
Sounds great. So my name is Rebecca Williams. I'm a policy analyst with the Sunlight Foundation. The Sunlight Foundation is a nonpartisan nonprofit located in Washington, D.C. We work on open government issues. Historically, we've worked at the federal level, but we've recently started working at the local level, which means municipal and state open data issues. This is the third time I'm testifying this year so far for an open data bill. These things are gaining traction. Maryland certainly is not alone in approaching this issue. There's 25 open data policies on the books. The federal government is one of them, as well as Montgomery County. It'd be great to have Maryland complete the federation. In addition to the 25 policies that are on the books, there are 9 pending state policies right now, including Maryland's. There's a bunch of reasons that open data is useful. I'll just touch on a couple of them. But if you guys have questions about how other locations are going about these policies, or examples of how they've been successful, I'm happy to answer those at the end. Reasons that open data is important and useful is that it increases transparency and empowers accountability. There is a Pew Research Center study in 2009 that surveyed the population, asked where you're asking, or where the population was looking for government information. They found that 40% of respondents first went to their computer to get information about their government. People are looking for information about what their government is doing on the internet right now, and it's the responsibility of the government to put that information there for them to find. In addition to accountability, it also improves efficiencies and service quality. It helps government operate within government doors. With standardized data that's easy to compare and share, it's easier to perform quantitative evaluations of programs and find opportunities for improving how services are delivered. It also, as mentioned, attracts commerce and increases public participation. There's a variety of businesses that my other panelists can talk about that can be started via open data. And also, it provides a clearer feedback mechanism with the public. If you have data-driven governance and all of that is online, you can get their opinion easily and more efficiently. Thank you for letting me testify, and let me know if you have questions.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Robert Ray. I have three small technology companies in Baltimore. I'm going to keep my testimony short here and let the other panelists do most of the talking. But my second company, MP3 Car, certainly wouldn't exist if it wasn't for open government data at the federal level. And we've had employed dozens of people over the years. And it's actually led to other innovations outside open government data with GPS. So we've actually, through those innovations, developed and manufactured products that we export. So to add to Bill's economic argument, I think that's that definitely hits home with me. In addition to the economic argument, I think this is a great way to reignite interactive democracy and allow citizens to engage. I think there's also a piece of with the more data that's open, the more that we can unlock hidden state and local resources. A colleague of mine in Baltimore City actually created a website called Baltimore Vacants using open data. And that's a great tool to find vacant houses and find one that you can buy that are otherwise costing agencies money. And I think this is one of thousands of examples that we'll find the more data that we can release into the public. Thank you.
Thank you. You're next.
All right. My name is Colin Drain. I'm founder of a website called Spot Crime. We are currently the most visited crime mapping website in the United States, if not the world. I was started in Baltimore. I was a transplant from Philadelphia, and I was interested in crime, obviously living in Baltimore. And without open data, Spot Crime would not be able to exist. Without the agencies that are making data available within Maryland and also around the country, currently we have 30,000 subscribers within Maryland, and that means this year we'll send out roughly about 9 million crime alerts to citizens in Maryland. Unfortunately, the data is not totally open for all police agencies around the state, and it's not uniform, it's not housed in the same way, it's not delivered in the same way, so you have certain agencies delivering data on a daily basis, and you have other agencies delivering on a monthly basis, and then you have other agencies just flatly refusing to provide data publicly. Occasionally, and often in the state of Maryland, some police agencies are using proprietary systems on their websites, which means they show crime data, but they allow the vendor to restrict the press and the public from writing down the data and sharing it with other members of the public. That's, in my terms, what I mean by proprietary. A better way to deliver data to the public is in an open format. Spot Crime will consume the data and deliver it to the public. The news will consume the data and deliver it to the public, and the public itself will share the data amongst themselves without any threat of legal problems with sharing public data. In the crime sense, which is my expertise, what we find is the interaction with our customers is the demand for crime data is really, really high. And when they don't see crime data because of everybody accessing the internet, as stated, there's a presumption that the data is being hidden. Conversely, when the data is made available, you see neighborhood watches organically organizing around this data and sharing it. and it has been shown that neighborhood watches help reduce crime significantly. So the value of this data in the crimes perspective is you encourage neighborhood watches and you help reduce crime. Thank you.
Yep, thank you very much. Thank you for having us today, and thank you for the hearing opportunity. My name is Beth Blauer, and I am the director at a company called Socrata, which is an open data company. I've been with Socrata for about 18 months. Prior to joining Socrata, I was the director of Governor O'Malley's state stat operation. I also oversaw the delivery unit and had the opportunity to see firsthand the benefits of using open data. I think oftentimes people think about open data in terms of sharing data only to the public. But one of the things that Maryland has absolutely been a leader in is opening data amongst the agencies and allowing agencies to release their data onto a common platform so that they can start solving problems in a much more innovative, robust way by aligning data to outcomes and really thinking about how improvements in the way that Maryland uses and manages data can help propel results, whether that's results for children and families, whether that's results around the crime fight, whether that's results around our ability to improve the health of the Chesapeake Bay. And so, absolutely, and here standing in support of this bill, as you know, the state of Maryland has been a leader in this area. The governor has made an effort through several executive orders that I had the fortunate opportunity to work on around beginning to make open as a default part of our internal DNA here in the state. And I would just think that this would be a solidification of our position here and would allow us as a state to continue to lead in this area by releasing in a responsible way machine-readable, consumable data, not only to help to nurture that ecosystem of external developers who will help to stimulate our economy, but also to encourage more internal sharing of data within our state agencies so that we can streamline our resources to making sure that we're delivering better services, that we're making decisions more responsibly on behalf of Maryland citizens, and that we are maintaining this position of being data-driven and evidence-based in all the work that we do as a state. So I thank you for having me today, and I'm happy to field any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. I'm Susan Cochran, president of the League of Women Voters of Maryland, and we strongly support Bill 644. As you know, the League of Women Voters has worked for decades, nine decades, to have a government that's open and transparent and works on behalf of all Americans. So we believe that democratic government depends on informed and active participation at all levels of government. This includes, of course, several of the things like open meetings and so forth that have been proposed and are being reinforced here in the legislature by their proposals this session even. But we also believe this includes making public records accessible and easy to use. I won't say any more except that we enthusiastically support this proposed legislation, and we urge you to issue a favorable report. Thank you.
Okay,
I forgot a minor note. There are some amendments proposed in the bill file from agencies. The vast majority of them are friendly amendments, with the one caveat: we're working out an issue with DeWitt on the procurement issue. The change would, right now they want to take, there's a piece of the bill that requires procurement, future procurement of data systems to be in a certain format so that they're machine readable. They wanted to strip that out. We are interested in a compromise that would say basically the council would make recommendations for how to improve procurement so that we don't have all these disparate systems that can't talk to each other.
I assume when they have an amendment with your name on it, that is friendly.
Yes, I think there are a few others potentially coming.
Oh, all right. Thank you all. Anybody in the committee have any question of our panelists? Thank you all. You did a wonderful job. Thank you very much. I might jump around here. Jennifer Bevan Dangle.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Hold on. Not yet.
You said jump. I jumped.
Did I say that? Greg Urban. Bernie Krutoff, Robert Ray.
No, he.
Okay. No. Yeah. She spoke.
Oh, she did.
So did he.
He spoke.
Oh, he didn't. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank
you.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay. Who are you?
I'm Greg Urban.
Great. And you're.
Barney Krukoff.
Okay, we got you. And Jennifer. Jennifer has to go first because she jumped the quickest.
I jump when you say jump, sir. Jennifer Bevan-Dangle, I'm the Executive Director of Common Cause Maryland. We're here in very strong support of Senate Bill 644. And you'll notice on my written testimony, we are here with the support of several other organizations and speaking on their behalf because we respect your time and did not want to have another whole flood of panelists. But this is an idea whose time has certainly come to Maryland. We're very grateful to the Senator for his service on the task force and to the whole task force for starting to move us down this path and putting this bill together. We do support some of the amendments that are out there, in particular adding the archives to the council, and we support DeWitt's amendments that would extend the term to a 4-year term and make sure that proprietary or confidential information is excluded. We certainly wouldn't want that to go afoul. I think our one sticking point with the bill is around this procurement requirement. We had some informal conversations with DeWitt, and just as the sponsor referenced, we would support an amendment that gives it the power to the council to recommend some procurement changes, again, to ensure that all of our technology is talking to each other and that our technology is able to upload information in the most modern machine-readable formats. So we think with those amendments, we can have a very strong bill, and we're very eager to see Maryland take this momentous step into the open data age. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm Greg Urban. I'm Maryland's Chief Technology Officer and the Deputy Secretary of the Department of IT. I'm here to voice our strong support for Senate Bill 644. The department has submitted several amendments to the bill, as we've mentioned, and additionally, we had originally submitted a fiscal note to the bill. We are prepared to remove the fiscal note based on the conversations we've had and the amendments that have been proposed, and we're drafting a letter to formalize that position, and we'll be submitting it shortly. The department believes that the bill is a big step towards providing better government transparency in Maryland. Through the use of the open data portal, the maximum amount of data will be made available to the public and done so in a manner that's the minimum impact to the agencies. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Krukoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Greg. I'm the State Geographic Information Officer, and as such, for the Department of Information Technology, I administer one of the programs that Senator Ferguson's bill is consolidating, and we're just here to give you some background and testify in support of the bill. There are two existing executive orders. One of them is One Maryland, One Map, and that's the one I work under. Our job is to gather data from all the agencies that's geospatial in nature, mapped information. Currently, we have 268 map services online. These many maps could have multiple other layers, so there could be environmental data, demographic data, economic data, all in mapped form, and that's existing today. We also help operate data.maryland.gov, which currently has 185 agency-contributed data sets. It's a much younger program, but growing rapidly, and that tends to have data that's not mapped as often. Could be accounting data, statistics on safety, etc. The council has a lot of focus on it, but we agree that combining these two into one makes sense. It's all about the same data, and it's an important outreach function to have agencies see their peers, have some local government representation there, have some private representation, and it will encourage, we think, agencies to bring their data forward. We know that the existing orders are just a start. I gave you some numbers, but it's the tip of the iceberg of what could be made available, and the economic benefits that were mentioned grow accordingly. As to the specific amendments, we thought proprietary and confidential data should be excluded. Proprietary, I mean different than the previous witness, as in proprietary owned by a company from which the government has purchased software or data. We suggested dropping non-executive branch agencies because that was, we heard requested that they could speak for themselves. We suggested changing the council from 2 to 4 years. 2 years is our current IMAP council, and having helped write that order and administered it, it's not a lot of time for citizens to come in, understand this technology, and make a contribution. Currently, our council meets 4 times a year. This bill would require at least 2. So it would just give more time for the appointees of the governor to come up to speed
and to make a meaningful contribution. Finally, on the procurement, we take a lot of time reviewing procurements at DOIT, and our customers want a faster process. Most of the modern systems could export data, but we would be fine with the compromise as proposed. That's all.
All right, thank you very much. I would suggest that you get together with Senator Ferguson, because we're going to be guided by whatever he wants.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Will do. Thank you.
That ends our hearing on that bill.